Alright, it's 12:15, so we'll start the meeting. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Han Chuan Lee, the Registry Services Senior Manager from the Registry Services team. Welcome to the Take Who Is Implementation meeting. So, before we start, I'd like to do a roll call with the Implementation Review team. I'll go around the table starting from Steve's side. If anybody is from the implementation review team, could you please identify yourself? Thank you.
Steve Chan, Senior Policy Manager.
Lars Hoffman from ICANN Staff.
Barry Cobb with Staff.
Volker Gleimann, Registrars. And the IoT.
Animal.
Andreas Bartels, Deutsche Telekom AG.
Tatiana Kramsova from RU Center.
Yeah.
Frédéric Guillemot, Mail Club, Registrar and from the IRT.
Thank you. Just let us, if you'd like, let us know that you're present. Yeah.
That's Zilla Watson and Katie Ed from the BBC.
Marika Konings, ICANN Staff.
Damien Borney, Lexis Energy.
Mert Zucker, I'm also ICANN Staff.
Dennis Chang, ICANN Staff.
Tony Farrell, ICM Registry.
Howard Lee, ICANN Staff.
Mike Zepke, ICANN Staff.
Joe Waldron from VeriSign.
Pat King, VeriSign.
Mike Murphy, Cum Laude, Registrar.
Dan Rogers, Paragon Internet Group.
Chris Pelling, NetEarth One. Registrar.
Eva Jado from Dot Madrid.
Andrea Feltner from Newstar.
Anya Mashta, ICANN Staff.
Thank you. Does anybody behind want to identify yourself? And if you are also from the RRT, would you please identify yourself as well? No. All right, thank you. So, this is the Take Who Is Consensus Policy Implementation Meeting. So this is the agenda for the meeting. We're going to give an update on the implementation so far. Then we have a discussion with the IRT on the implementation plan and schedule. And as part of the implementation plan, we're going to talk about the outreach and education and the next step with the IRT. Okay. This slide. Okay, in February this year, the ICANN board made a resolution to adopt the council's policy recommendation for Take Who Is and to direct the president and CEO to develop their execute and implementation plan. So that's where we are today. As of March this year, the staff implementation project team has been formed and a draft implementation plan schedule has been drafted since then. And in to address recommendation 3, we also have a member from the ICANN legal team as part of the project team to advise us on recommendation 3. This is the suggested engagement that we would like to do with the IRT. So if members of the IRT, whether you're present physically or you're in the Adobe Connect, please let us have your comments. Before we publish any document, we will definitely send it to the RRT for review and comments. So we'll typically give you at least 30 days, maybe more than a month, to review the document and to give us any comments if you have of the document. We're proposing a regular teleconference with the RRT on perhaps a bi-monthly basis. If you feel that there's too much, monthly or even once every 2 months, please let us know what is your preference. Definitely, this discussion will also be carried out via the mailing list, and as much as possible, we're going to have face-to-face meeting like what we have today here So, comments, please. Do you think that, are you okay with having the review of documents giving you at least a month to look into the document? Okay, I see nods around the room. Any shaking of heads? No? Okay, so I'll take it that this is agreed. And in terms of the regular teleconference meeting, what would the IRT prefer? Do you prefer bi-monthly, monthly, once every 2 months, once a quarter? Do you want to meet me? Meet me only at the end?
You should probably start off more regular meetings initially, mm-hmm. until you get the ball rolling, and then depending upon what we need after that.
Okay. So should we start with a monthly call? And then going from there, when we decide that, you know, maybe once every 2 months will be sufficient, we reduce the frequency?
Why don't we start twice a month?
Okay.
And then go from and then take it down from there.
All right. Okay. Right. Any other comments or suggestions from the other members of the RRT or from staff? Okay, if not, then I will start the schedule over the mailing list, a bi-monthly teleconference. I understand that there will be certain challenges with regards to time zone. We have, staff and RRT members from around the world. So we will take this discussion offline in the main list and we try to find a suitable time and date for the regular teleconference. Right? Okay. Okay, now next slide, please. Okay, we'll move into the implementation plan and schedule discussion. And I'm going to give an abbreviation of TW-IPS for easier discussion. Next slide, please. Okay, the draft implementation plan and schedule document has been circulated to the implementation review team earlier part of the month for your review. So what this document basically outlines the milestones and the timeline that we are looking at to complete each milestone, as well as which are the parties that are responsible. It will be a live document and we will provide status update through that document as well. And in the document, I'll highlight there are two key activities that we're trying to achieve with the implementation. Firstly, is to transition from a TIN to a TIC who is in accordance to the 2013 RIA specification tree. And this is one of the key tasks. The next key activities is to transfer the data from the registrar to registries, especially for those who are on the TIN model. So once we move to a TIC who is registration model, the data has to be transferred over from the registrars to the registry so that both sides are synced up. Okay. Right, next slide, please. Okay. As part of the implementation, these are the proposed documents that we will be publishing. So firstly, the transition verification plan. This document basically... Okay, we're going to define what is the purpose for verification, as well as what are the tools that could be used for verification, and what are the tasks for verification that will be carried out. And we're looking at sometime end of this year, this document should be finalized. In the implementation plan and schedule document that's been circulated to the RRT, we have a little more details inside there as to like when we're going to send a draft copy of the document to you for review. When we're going to send this out for public comment, and when this document is expected to be finalized. So we are going to get this. This is one of the first documents that we'll be publishing, and this should be finalized by the end of the year. So, the second document... The second document is the post-transition problem resolution plan. So... as with any implementation, there will probably be some issues that we need to address after the transition. So this document basically talks about what are the possible post-transition issues that may occur, the roles and responsibility of the various party to resolve these issues, and who are the affected parties. And so that everybody has a consistent resolution of issues. So if any registrant were to face an issue because the post-transition, or any registrar were to face any issue, so they know from this document where to get help from, who to seek help from. So that across the board, there is consistency in terms of problem resolution. And this document is also going to be finalized by the end of this year. The third document will be the guidelines for registry and registrar. So this document basically guides the registries and registrars in the implementation. So for example, what are the security measures to be taken, if any? And as well as it will define the tasks, the deliverables, and the time frame that the registries and registrars have to adhere to get the transition to the TIC who is executed. Okay. And this document would be in March 2015. Yes.
Do you want questions along the way, or do you want to hold those till after you go through this?
Let me finish the slide, okay. And then we can go through the questions. Sure. Thank you. And the last document will be the post-implementation report. So basically, after we are done through everything, we'll publish a report so that there's learnings from the implementation for future generation to refer to. And this should be done by the January 2017. So for these four documents that we are proposing to be published in the comments. Yeah, sorry. You. Do you have any comments?
So can you just elaborate a little bit on the transition verification plan? I don't know how you have a timeline of what that is, if you're still planning on defining it, and assuming that you have some concept, maybe you could just share some of that.
Okay, so for example, when the data is being sent from the registrar to the registries, right, how do you verify that indeed, or how does ICANN verify that indeed the execution was carried out correctly, there wasn't any erroneous data that's been carried out? So we might say that, for example, we will do a 10% sampling, or we will do a 100 domain names sampling to make sure that the transition as being carried out by the registration registrars are being done correctly. Another verification could be a registrant who is very concerned about his or her data that is being moved from the registrar to the registry, may want to check that, okay, is the data that's been transferred the same? So there could be a tool to say, you know, I key my domain name. It will show me what is the whois information on the registrar side. It will also show me the whois information on the registry side. So I know as a registrant that, yes, my data has been transitioned over successfully and accurately. So basically, it's to make sure that the transition from the TIN to a TIC who is, and the transfer of data from the registrars to the registries are being carried out successfully, and you know, that there isn't any errors at all.
Okay, so I would classify that as a data verification, not necessarily a transition verification. Is that what you're thinking?
Besides data, we'll also be checking out, for example, that the EPP commands are being implemented correctly as well. So we'll probably be checking against the EPP of the registry, make sure that, yes, the new EPP command for a domain create will include all the fields that's been defined in the 2013 RIA spec tree. So it's not just about the data, it's also about the execution, the implementation, the system development itself. Yes.
And I'd just like to remind people, this is Barry Cobb for the record, to announce your name when you're speaking for the transcription. Thank you.
Thanks, Barry. Joe Waldron.
Any other comments from the RRT? And I know that there are also members from the RRT in the Adobe Connect. Do you have any other comments on these four documents? Okay, if not, we will move on to the next slide. So as mentioned earlier, there are two key activities that has to be carried out by the registries and registrar. And first is to transition to a TIC who is registration. That means from X day, X month, X year, any registration for domains under that TLD has to follow the TIC whois model. That's the first step. Then the second step will be if there's any data that needs to be transferred over from the registrar to the registry to sync it up. So for example, the registry could be a TIN model. It doesn't hold any registrar information, and you need to actually transfer that from registrar to registry. This will be carried out after the transition to the TIC whois registration. So the timeline is being proposed as shown on the slide above. So sometime in the January to December 2015, the registries and the registrar group have completed all the pre-transition tasks. For example, system development, your plan for transition. So I'm going to give you guys about a year to get this pre-transition task executed and completed. Sometime from December 2015 to February 2016, the registrars and registry will have to complete their testing. So by December 2015, finish your system developments, finish whatever you need to do, get it tested. And sometime in March to April 2016, you have to start to transition to a tick who is registration, just the registration. Okay. And then we'll give a period of 2 months for post-transition verification and problem resolution. So in case there's any issues with transition, let's get that resolved first before in June 2016, we transfer all the data that needs to be transferred from the registrars to the registry. And again, we'll have a 2 to 3 months time period in October to December 2016 to have a post-data transfer issue resolution. So for example, if the data cannot be transferred accurately, what should the registry do? What should the registrar do? What are the possible resolutions that we need to work out? Okay. This is the proposed timeline for the two key tasks, the transition and as well as the transfer of data. What do the IRT think? Yes, Joe.
Joe Waldron. So I believe there was also a recommendation made for a legal review by ICANN.
Yes.
And I don't see that on any of the timeline. Mm. So I'm just wondering when you expect to have that complete, because I think that's going to be essential for completion of many of these other deliverables that you've outlined.
Okay. So in terms of the legal review, which is recommendation 3, we are exploring with the legal team what is the best way forward to get that legal review document out. We're thinking that sometime before the end of the year, this document should be already be released out to the rest, to the public. So we are still thinking of what is the best way to get that recommendation out.
This is Pat Kane. So that legal review, what do we expect that legal review to tell the transit to the registries that are transitioning?
Okay, so that legal review, as stated in recommendation 3, is to look at the applicable law, for example, data privacy, with regards to, and also the contracts that the registrar will be signing with the registrar, what should that contract contain? So it's very specific within the scope of recommendation 3.
Okay, Pat Kane, there's 230 legal jurisdictions where .coms are registered to date. And when we think about privacy, when you think about the collection, the transmission, the storage, and the display of this data. So will that legal review be done to that level of detail so we understand at least what the highest threshold is in terms of privacy? Was that a yes, or is that, you understand the question?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Marika. What the working group recommended that the review actually focus on the aspect of transition, because that's the question where indeed there was the transition of the data and looking specifically at that. And I think as one of the examples given in the actual recommendation, they talk about, you know, something that may come out of that is indeed this notion that there may be consent or specific consent and registration agreement, as Han Chuang was referring to. But I don't think it was the intention to go to looking at privacy laws, and because that's understood as we already operate thick who is registries in many countries, that doesn't need to be reviewed at this stage.
Well, I mean, I think it kind of does, because we're talking about a 20-year-old plus standard, you know, for protocol for who is, and now we're going to lump it onto the largest TLD that we've got. We've got over 100 million registrations. Even step number 15 to perform this transition in 1 month, I think, is aggressive. And so to understand what the new implications are, and then we ought to take a look also, I guess I'm going to go on a little bit, what the expert working group is saying in terms of what the new who is, or the registry directory services should look like. And I think to go take this monumental step and use a really old protocol without considering data privacy puts a lot of risk on the transitioning registries, I think. Not that people aren't at risk today, because I think they are, from a privacy standpoint, but that should all be considered.
Uh, Okay, we'll take the comments back to our legal team, and we'll get back to the RRT on this point. Thanks. To clarify your statement on the 1 month transition, before that happens, all the development and the EPP should have already been done, created, and tested before the transition. So that transition period of 1 month is basically for the registries to set a sort of like a date, say, okay, maybe on 2nd of April 2015 at UTC0, any registration, any EPP commerce that comes in to register a domain name will have to be on the tick whois model, otherwise it will be rejected. So it will give the registry that 1 month period to decide what is the so-called the D-Day.
This is Joe Walburn. So just practically, where we have done these types of transitions before, doing a hard cutover like that is very problematic, I think, in terms of the transactions that are being processed from the registry to the registrar. Mm-hmm. So I think it's more prudent to work out a transition plan and an implementation plan with the registrars, between the registry and the registrars, on how that transition happens. I'll give you an example. When we transitioned many years ago from RRP to EPP, or when we started implementing, other protocol changes, you don't just do those as a hard cutover. So I think that's what Pat was referring to, saying that trying to get that accomplished in a month is very aggressive. And I'd also point out that the data transfer phase that you have here is also very aggressive. I think the PDP working group discussed this multiple times, but even when .org transitioned, which I think was in 2003, there were about 1.5 million names, and it took about a year of a phased plan going registrar by registrar, or a set of registrars at a time, and that was 1.5 million names with about just under 100 registrars at the time. Mm-hmm. So when you look at the scale in terms of the number of domain names, mm-hmm. the number of registrars, and the global diversity of the registrars, mm-hmm. I think it's a problem that we need to address very carefully in planning the timeline.
All right, thank you. Let me clarify one more point. In the implementation plan and schedule document that was sent to the RRT for review, there is a task for the registries to submit their implementation plan and schedule in March next year. All right, so as part of the implementation plan, this will be something that we'll be looking out for as well. How the registries and wants to carry out the implementation. So like what you say, if you feel that you want it to be a over a period of time, and you want to from this day, how you envision it, what was the activity for the day, 1 week later, 2 weeks later, what's the thing. So in the implementation plan that all the registry will have to submit, that will have to be addressed. Right. And the other thing that I want to clarify here is that we don't expect all the registry to be on the same date that they do an implementation, which is why we set a period of time so that registry can tell us within this period of time when is it a comfortable day and the period that they want to actually carry out the execution.
This is Pat Kane, not to be snarky, but I think we're the only ones at VeriSign to go from thin to thick.
Thanks. Right. So all this feedback that we're giving to the team is very good. And like I stress again, this is just a proposed implementation plan and schedule, and we're just putting on the table so that between staff and the RRT and the other people that are present in this room today, we can have a very constructive discussion on what would be a better plan going forward. What are your concerns? And we definitely can address all these concerns right now before we begin the actual implementation. And also like to ask that all these comments, if you can, please email to the mailing list so that it is captured accurately, and that we'll make sure that all these have been taken into consideration as well. Thank you. Okay. Are there any other comments on this slides? From other people around the room? Are there any comments from the Adobe Connect?
No.
Okay. If not, we will move on to the next slide. Okay. There are 3 outreach and education activities that we're planning. From November to December of this year, we're looking at conducting a community outreach and industry education. So registrant may not be fully aware what is a TIN, what's the TIC, who is. These are still, I would say, jargons that are only familiar with people that are familiar with domain name in the industry itself. So we're going to do a community outreach to let people know that this is happening, how it's going to affect them, what is it that is being transitioned, and what is it that is being moved from the registrar to the registry. Next year, before we start the actual implementation itself, we're going to have a webinar for the registration registrars. This coincides with the time that all the guidelines, the transition verification document, and the post-transition resolution plan, that by then it have all been published. So basically, we're just going through all these documents with all the registration registrars to make sure and to address any questions or concerns that they have. So we're going to conduct a webinar over a period of 2 months. After that, we're going to publish an FAQ on our website. So address any concerns that registrar may have, whatever the questions that have been asked during the community outreach, during the webinar. We will post it up and so that everybody have a common understanding on what is happening. So this will happen in sometime January to February 2015 next year. So these are the three outreach activities that I can think of doing. So do you guys have any?
Joe Alden. So I would recommend that the timeline that you have for that community outreach and education include or be scheduled once you have the legal review done, because I think that will be an important point in that communication.
Thank you. Noted. So again, there's ambition that the legal review will have been done by then as well. So this should be already, meaning that when we do all these things, this all the relevant documentation should have already been done.
Yeah, I'm just saying that I think that legal review should be a predecessor to this task being completed. I don't think you can complete this without having that legal review done.
Got it. Yes, Alan, do you mind using the mic, please? Thanks.
Is there any plan, although you might not be in a position to enforce it, is there any plan to have outreach to the actual registrants via the registrars, obviously, since they're the ones with the contact?
Oh, can we have your name also?
Sorry, Alan Greenberg.
Thank you.
So the bar in blue, basically looking at outreach to everybody, not just the registrant, it's also about the registries and also to the registrars that will definitely be impacted as a result of this implementation. So, but Alan, thanks for the feedback. We'll definitely take that into consideration in executing this task that is in blue down here, that perhaps the registrars would play a role in outreaching to the registrants as well. And are there any registrars here who would like to respond to Alan's suggestion? Yes.
I think as registrars, Frédéric Guillemot, registrar, mail club. I think as registrar, we will be very happy to first contact our registrants. I'm speaking for myself, but because I don't really like my customers getting emails from someone they don't know. They could think it's phishing, they could think it's some spam and so on. So I'd be happy to do some of the job because we know our customers. For some registrars, maybe bigger registrars, it might be more difficult. But at least if you can include a phase where the registrars can contact the registrant, could be a good idea to include that.
Thanks. Sorry, Alan, and then not that.
Alan Greenberg again. As I said, you may not be in a position to force registrars to do it, but it wouldn't be bad to have something ready. And in terms of the timeline, I don't think you can ask them to contact their registrants until you have your FAQ up on the website that they can point to, at the very least.
Thank you, Alan. Sorry.
Volker Greimann, Key Systems Registrar. As any of these changes requires a change in the contracts with the registered name holders, we will, of course, have to reach out to our customers and inform them that the terms of their registration are about to change. And I support Alan's comment that we will have to have something to point to when that happens.
Yes.
Elaine Prost with Donuts. Since we're talking about registrants, I'm wondering if there's something in the transition plan that states at what point the registrar syncs up with the registries who is. I've found in our new GTLDs that sometimes the registrars are displaying who is based on their own database rather than what's at the registry, and that's causing confusion with the registrants. They're not sure which one's authoritative. Is there anything in your transition plan that says at this point this one's authoritative?
Let's put it this way. Once the registry has transitioned to the TIC Whois model, the data on the registrar side and the data on the registrar would have to be the same, because it's all going to be based on 2013 RRA spec tree. So there's no reason why the data should be different. Because as part of the implementation, everybody will be moving to the 2013 RAA specification tree. The 2013 RAA specification tree basically states what is the Whois format, what the data will be inside, the fields, the label, what it's going to look like. And this will have to be the same on the registry side as well, all the registries. So the data will be the same.
Okay, it's not so much the format, but the actual content. So I've seen where a registrar would accept a contact change at the registrar database, but not update to the registry. So the registry should have the authoritative data for that TLD, but the registrar is displaying to the registrant the change, which hasn't been sent to the registry yet. So I'm wondering, is there some stipulation or language in your transition plan that says the registrar must refer to the registry's Whois information to display that publicly, or as they are now, can they just pull from their own data?
Sorry, this is Mike Zepke of ICANN staff, so I just wanted to speak to that a little bit in terms of what the registrar accreditation agreement currently requires. And historically, there has been some permitted lag between what the registrar is required to put in Whois in their own Whois service and then when they're required to update the registry. And so while that lag, you know, time is still permitted, even in the most recent form of agreement, what I think is a practical matter, what we'll see is most registrars will begin displaying the registry level Whois output instead of their own in a lot of cases. At least that's sort of what we're hearing. And the other thing is that registrars are no longer obligated to populate the thick Whois data at port 43 if the registry is thick. So we think that probably is a practical matter. This problem will start to go away. But I'd be happy to talk to you maybe outside about, you know, what the agreement specifically requires, and we can, you know, potentially refer it as a compliance issue if there is one.
Pat Kane, VeriSign. Mike, I think it's interesting because when you talk about authoritative for the data, the registry by definition cannot be authoritative for any of the data because we don't have the relationship. For a non-vertically integrated registry, we don't have the business relationship with the registrant. So therefore, we can only display what we receive from the registrar. So we may be the ones that display it, but because of that, you're going to create, well, a registry will be the de facto authoritative, and we're not. And so we can't actually assert that registrant is named for that domain. Only the registrar can do that.
But isn't the zone file considered authoritative? I mean, but the zone file doesn't change.
But the zone file doesn't have registrant data. The zone file only has information about how the resolution for the domain name
occurs.
So
maybe not the registrant, but expiration date change.
So that piece of data we are authoritative for in terms of the expiration. But when you talk about the thick aspect of it, that's the piece that we can never be authoritative for by definition.
Yes, Volker.
Volker Greimann again. There is a couple of cases where the registry must be authoritative. For example, we have had a few cases in our own history where we had displayed Whois data that was simply incorrect because we were no longer the registrar of record for the domain name but did not know that. For example, it happens when the registry receives a court order, implements that, and sends us an email. We may see that email at some point and implement that and kick the domain out of our database, but until that happens, we are assuming that we are the registrar of record and display wrong data. In most cases, the registries also send an EPP command, but they don't always do that. And in those cases, there are differences between the registry database and the registrar database. So one thing that should be part of the transition plan coming out of this transition is that the registrar Whois requirements be revisited and possibly removed, so to avoid any inconsistencies between displays of Whois data from the registrar and from the registry.
So I agree with you, Volker, that the thin elements the registries can be authoritative for: registrar of record, expiration date, term, name server records, etc. Those are things that we have to possess. But in terms of eliminating the need for a registrar to display thick Whois, is that what you're suggesting?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I think it's a burden that you're then placing on all of the registries to basically do enforcement actions for you, because law enforcement and intellectual property will come to directly the registry, and it should be the other way around.
Okay, maybe we are discussing the word authoritative in a different way. We're understanding it in a different way. I'm meaning authoritative as that which third parties can rely upon when looking at the Whois. Maybe you have a different definition of that. Basically, you're right. You can only rely on what we are telling you for the registrant, but a third party can only rely on what's in the Whois, and that's what I see as authoritative.
Okay, Marika?
This is Marika. I just wanted to point out that the working group actually did look at this issue of authoritativeness quite extensively, and there's a section in the report that speaks about this, and also I think the difference between indeed looking at the accuracy or who's responsible making sure that the information is there and who holds it at the end of the day. So maybe worth looking at that. But the working group did conclude that they believe that as currently is not creating any significant issues. There was no need to actually change, you know, the current environment where there is no specific policy or around the aspect of who has authoritative data. But again, that may be something you may want to further review based on the discussions that the working group had on that topic.
Thank you, Marika. Okay. Any comments from the remote participation? Anything? No. Okay. All right. So, we'll move on to the next slide. So, one more slide. Yeah, this is the next steps from this meeting. So I'll ask the RRT to complete the review of the Thick Whois implementation plan and schedule. And please let us have your comments via the mailing list so that it is recorded. And we're looking at after all the comments have been received, hopefully by the end of July, we should be able to finalize the implementation plan shortly after that. And then we can start to the implementation itself. Okay, and I'll be going through the mailing list to actually fix the regular meetings and time with you.
Yeah, Joe Waldron. So. Yes. I may have missed that, but is the implementation plan only being reviewed by the IRT, or is that going to receive any kind of public review?
So we will post it up for on our website for not for public comment, but we'll be posting it up, but mainly reviewed by the IRT.
I'm not sure I got the
answer correct. The review will only be carried out by the IRT.
So will this implementation plan be published to the community, or will it only be circulated and held within the IRT?
It will first complete review and comments by the IRT first before it gets published to the public.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And I'd like to remind everybody in the room that Thick Whois implementation affects all registry. It doesn't matter whether you're legacy or you're new GTLD, it affects all the registry. Basically, your Whois data model has to follow exactly the 2013 RIA specification tree. And meaning that, you know, in your RIA specification form, it will have to contain the same thing. Okay, what's the time now? Oh, we are well ahead of time. So, are there any other comments around the room on this TakeWhois implementation? Right. If not, you're welcome to catch us along the corridor if you have any comments on this. I look forward to the RRT giving us your review of the implementation plan and over the mailing list. And if there's any other suggestions or feedback that you want about this TakeWhois implementation, please feel free to email to me, or you can get my email address after this meeting. Alright. Okay. So thank you everybody for attending this meeting. We adjourn until the next meeting. Thank you. So the meeting is closed. I think the recording, stop the recording, please. Thank you.